Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is week 6, day 4 of our study of Mark. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Mark 9, 14 through 29. Well, welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God. Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Mark 9, starting in verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. I wonder if there wasn't still some kind of glow coming off of Jesus. We know that in the Old Testament, when Moses would go and meet with God, he would go and he would stand in the tent of meeting in the Holy Spirit, or the Lord, actually, God the Father, in this Shekinah glory-like cloud would come. And then Moses would actually radiate light off of him for some period of time afterwards, so much so that like he would glow. He literally glowed. After he was radiant, after being in the presence of God, and people asked him to put a veil over his face because it scared them, because they realized it's almost like we're talking to, you know, God's representative on earth. Like there's the glow of God coming off of you and it terrifies us. And so part of me wonders is, you know, they're just coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration. They're coming back in this group of people. If there isn't this glow, this radiance coming off of Jesus, and they're like, whoa, you've been somewhere, you know? All right, verse 16. "What are you arguing with him about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit, has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." So they're all arguing, right? Because the disciples have already gone out. Jesus has already sent them out to cast out demons and heal people, and they've done this. These are all things that have happened up to this point. But now that Jesus is gone, right, and he's left them alone. He took Peter, James, and John with him, but everyone else is down there by themselves. And so this man is bringing his child to Jesus, and Jesus isn't there. So he's like, "You're his disciples. You've done this before. Cast the demon out of this child. I'm desperate, please." And they couldn't do it. And so then the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they're wagging their fingers at him, saying, "See, you know, you're nothing. You and Jesus are nothing." All of this kind of stuff. And the disciples are like, no, you know, Jesus is not nothing. We know it's all real and we can do this. We just don't understand why this isn't working, but just give it time. You know, there's all of this kind of stuff going on and, you know, they can't do it. Verse 19, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him in the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. So this man comes and you know, he's like, "Please just have pity on us. Please cast this demon out of my child." And it's this famous saying. This is one of the, at least to me, it's one of the most poignant things in scripture, where this guy is being humble and honest. Jesus says, "Yeah, if you just have faith, it'll happen." And the guy is like, "I do have faith, but obviously not enough. Please please help me with my unbelief. And it's as if a mental picture I come up with is there's the scales of faith. Now, this is not the scales of like if we get into eternity or not. That's a garbage teaching. Throw that away. But it's as if there's in our minds and in our hearts, there's these scales of I believe this much, but I still have doubts. I still have trouble. I don't know how to get over this hump. I believe, but I've never seen these things before. I don't know how to believe any more than I do. Right? And so I do believe, but I have doubts. And so the guy says, Jesus, I believe, but I also doubt. Help me with my doubts. Help me with my unbelief. And Jesus just immediately turns and he casts the demons out of this child. And I think this is powerful because every believer, if they're honest, they struggle with this, right? They struggle with, yes, I believe, but I know that there's also unbelief in me. And this is something that I've seen so many times with people who feel like they've been abused or burned by kind of the faith culture, the name it, claim it culture. I've met lots of people who've been told by pastors and leaders, well, you didn't get healed because you don't have faith. And they say it almost, you know, a lot of times faith healer type people will say that to make themselves feel better. There's like, I'm the faith healer and you didn't get healed. So it's your fault. It's not mine. Your fault because you don't have enough faith. Right. And it puts the blame and guilt on people. It's partly true. It's partly true as they didn't get healed because they don't have faith. But here's the guy saying like, Lord, I know that I don't have enough faith. Please have pity on me and help me with my lack of faith. I don't know what else to do. And Jesus does just that. He does just that. The truth is, without Holy Spirit involvement, none of us can have the faith that it takes to be healed or to see miracles, anything like that's not within our ability. Only the Holy Spirit can grant us that ability. Verse 28, and Jesus had gone indoors. His disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. This is odd and troubling all at the same time, right? So this demon, they've already cast out lots of demons and they come back and they tell Jesus, wow, it's amazing. The demons respond to us. And now comes this demon and they can't do it. And they're like, why? We cast out all the other demons before. What was the deal here, Jesus? And he says, this kind of demon can only come out through prayer. Now, I don't know if that means that Jesus prayed some specific prayer, if it means that he's got a better prayer life than them, or if he's just like, yeah, y'all aren't getting it done because you haven't prayed enough or you don't know how to pray, so I'm just going to do it. Like, there's so many questions that come up, but this does, it brings up kind of a mystery in Scripture, is that Jesus says that, you know, this kind, right? There is nothing in Scripture other than this right here, but there's nothing in Scripture that tells us all of the different kinds of demons and the divisions of demons and the ranks and how it works. Like, there's nothing in Scripture that tells us how any of this works. We get these little bitty glimpses into this supernatural world through these kinds of passages. But for the most part, we are clueless, absolutely clueless about how this actually works. And so here's this little glimpse that there are different kinds of demons. We know there's different ranks of demons from other passages, like in Daniel. So we see these glimpses, but we don't have a clue how all of this works. We have to be dependent. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us through and teach us and give us understanding into these kinds of things. But the Bible alone, I mean, it is sufficient in knowing God, but it is not sufficient in knowing every situation, how to deal with every single thing, right? The Bible doesn't tell you if you should take that job offer you just got. I mean, I know how many people I'm talking to here, so I know somebody probably just got a job offer. I'm not trying to be prophetic here. I'm not calling any specific person out, right? That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is making a point that the Bible doesn't tell you whether or not you should take that job. The Holy Spirit can lead and guide you and speak to you and tell you if you should take that job, but the Bible doesn't. And it seems like the same thing is here. And that's not me saying that we should get into all these weird extra biblical teachings and different things. I mean, everybody who's ever cast out more than three demons has got like a system and a plan, and they'll teach you how everyone else is doing it wrong. I've seen this so many times. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this supernatural world is far bigger than we see, we feel, we understand, and it's even bigger than everything that's even laid out in Scripture. And I believe with all my heart that one of the reasons that Scripture itself does not get into dramatic detail on the different types of demons and the classes of demons, whatever all that kind of stuff is because that is so much less important than everything else. So much less important than everything else. Scripture has the brief limited time that it has and the very finite number of words that an infinite God is relaying to humankind through his holy word. That doesn't breach the top 100 or 1,000 things that Scripture needs to say as the classes of demons. It's just that, yes, there are. The Holy Spirit can lead you into understanding these things when you need to know that. But it's not something you need to give a whole lot of time and attention to. I believe that's kind of a little bit into this world that we're seeing here. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-week Bible study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's word. Thank you.